Hey guys, and welcome to an episode of Weird Zone Wednesday by me, Karina, and I hope you've had an amazing and restful, resting 2 or 3 weeks of Easter break and really enjoyed the Easter time and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy to share a topic that God has put on my heart for the past 2 weeks, and it's about gifts and talents. So it's really interesting. The way that it started was that, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I stumbled over a song. It's called Lamp. It's by Elevation Worship. And it was just so beautiful to me. And one part of it stuck out to me all the time. And I had to meditate on it. And I was thinking about it all the time. And it was, may the Lamb receive his reward in me. And I was really dwelling on that, and I was really thinking about it. Okay, may the Lamb receive his reward in me. I want him to receive the reward. Like, may Jesus receive his reward in me. And I really, it meant a lot to me. And then just a few days ago, I stumbled upon another video where a person was sharing that God gave us talents and gifts as a gift. But what we make out of it is our gift to him. And I was just like, whoa, because it was just like so powerful, because I never thought of it in that way, but that it really, he gives us gifts and talents as a gift because he just gives freely. But what we make out of it is our gift to him. And this really opened my eyes, and it's being like, okay, this is the reward that he shall receive in me. This is the fruit that I will want to bring. And to connect it to the Bible, I have been reading in Luke, the parable of the talents. You can also find them in Matthew 21, but it's also in Luke 20, 9-19, and Matthew 21, 33-45. So I'll read it out, and then we will get deeper into it. So in Luke 20, 9-19, it says, he went on to tell people this parable. So Jesus told this parable. So he said, a man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my son whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. This is the heir, they said. Let's kill him and the inheritance will be ours. So it is about this parable, and it goes much deeper than that, which is already proclaiming what has been done to Jesus and from the beginning of prophets, like Moses, everything that has happened, what the people and religious leaders have done to him and what they planned to do, because Jesus was still alive at that time. But I want to focus on how this relates to bringing good fruit, and how the owner of the vineyard sends servants to pick up some of his fruit. So when we go back and really take this parable and focus on it, we can see that the owner is representing God. The owner is God. God has planted the vineyard. God has planted it. God has placed it. The servants are the prophets that God has sent, the prophets that he is sending to bring good fruit, to collect the fruit that he has planned for the vineyard to bring. Then the son he sends at last, when the three servants are being beaten up, are being sent away, he sends his son, which will then be killed. So this represents Jesus. So this parable is really so amazing and so beautiful. And when I read it and I had this revelation, I was like sitting in front of the Bible, and I was just like, you know when you have this aha moment, when you just have a light bulb like above your head? Yeah, that's how I felt. But it's just like, it's so beautiful, because then when we go back, the vineyard is, yeah, what God created, what God has planted. But when we go back and read Isaiah 5-7, we see that the vineyard is actually Israel. Because there it says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And God will come to collect his fruit. But then we have to focus again on why Israel is so important, and why Israel is the vineyard, and why not any other nation, and why Israel is the chosen nation. Because we will get more into that, but at first I want to make the point clear. What we're talking about now is, how do we know that he collects fruit, and why is Israel his vineyard and holy nation? So this is what we'll be focusing on at first. So with Israel, Israel is the chosen nation. God has proclaimed it. In Exodus 19 verse 6, which is the second book of Moses, it's the promise like of the holy nation. And it says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And this is all about Israel. God is making this promise about Israel and is proclaiming Israel as the chosen and holy nation that will be blessed and is the treasured possession. And he says, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This does not mean God favors one nation above the other, but we will get into that in the following. So it's just about like declaring why the vineyard is so important, why Israel is so important, and why we are so important, and why this is not only applying to Israel, but also to us. So we then also see that Israel is not only a chosen nation just because God favors, because God does not favor, he loves all of us. It's in Genesis 12, the first book of Moses, 2-3, where God prophesies and proclaims that out of Abraham, the nation Israel will be rooted up and will be formed. And the promise that sticks with it is, I read it. So in Genesis 12, 2-3, it says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you will curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So, out of Abraham comes the nation of Israel. But out of this nation and out of all of this, he will bless Abraham, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We're just in the verse like 3. So just 2 is the promise of what happens out of Abraham and the nation of Israel being formed out, coming out of Abraham. And then that all people on earth will be blessed through him, through this nation, through Israel, through Abraham. So this shows that God does not favor one nation over the other, but that Israel's role is to lead all nations to God, to Yahweh, lead him to God, to have a living relationship with him, and to have this relationship and to present this relationship that they are living, you know, like being those leaders that reconcile nations to God. So it means with Israel, with the vineyard, yes, Israel is the vineyard that God has prophesied in the Old Testament, in the books of Moses, what God has planted and why Israel is the chosen nation. And it does not stay with that, because with Israel now, like back then, Israel was the only point. They were those leaders who can lead people to God, where God was present, the holy nation. But now God has made a way for all nations to experience him through Jesus Christ. And this is why also why we as Gentiles, we belong to those holy nation now. And then we come to it, because in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "Then, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So this is talking about us as Christians, following Jesus Christ and knowing that he is the Messiah, that he has made the way, and that God has made a way through Jesus Christ, through dying for us on that cross and making a way. So we know the truth, and now we are also the vineyard. We are also supposed to bring forth good fruit. And it's just so beautiful to see, because often people focus on, okay, Israel is the holy nations, the Jews are the holy nations. Yes, Jesus was a Jew as well. And Christianity is built on Judaism, you know, it's just like, oh, bull on it. We read the books of Moses and everything, but it's just like, we are also the vineyard now. This is explaining the identity of who the vineyard is and why we are the vineyard, and why not only Israel, but why we are also the vineyard. Because even when we go further and we read in Matthew 21 verse 43, which is the parable of the talents that I started with, we see, and this is the fruit that we shall bring, because it says, "Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." So it's about producing fruit. And the parable of the tenants as well. God is the owner of the vineyard. The vineyard is Israel, his people. It's supposed to bring forth good fruit. And he sends his servants and prophets to pick up his fruit, to pick up some of his fruit, because he expects fruit. So we are supposed to produce fruit. And this is when you talk to the Pharisees, and of course they felt offended because they felt that he was judging them and saying that they are doing it wrong, and that he's proclaiming that he's the Messiah because they did not believe that he was the Messiah and is the Messiah. So they plotted to kill him afterwards. But it's that we as Christians, we are supposed to bring fruit. We all children of God are supposed to bring fruit. And this is the thing, it's all built upon the prophecy and proclamation and the promise that God has set from the beginning. Israel was chosen to be a holy nation, to lead all people to Christ, and to lead all nations to Christ, and to lead by example. But now, so are we, through Jesus Christ who lives inside of us, through the Holy Spirit made available to us. We, every single one of us, we can be this vineyard that brings forth good fruit and represents and fulfills the promise that he has set from the beginning. So this is about the identity, about what the vineyard is and why we are the vineyard, and that God is the owner, and the vineyard, we are the vineyard, and Israel, we all of his people, we are the vineyard, and we are supposed to bring good fruit, and he will come to collect his fruit. We see this in Matthew 21 verse 43, where it says, who will produce its fruit? So it will be given to those who will produce its fruit, the fruit that God wants to have from the beginning, that was set upon Israel to bring all nations to him. And it's the song of the vineyard as well, when I get to the Old Testament in Isaiah 5 verse 2, where it says, he dug it up and cleared it of stones. It's a song of the vineyard. He planted it with the choicest wines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. So God comes and God expects fruit, but he gives us the vineyard as well. We can be rooted in him and we will bring forth good fruit. So this is about the identity of the vineyard, and that we are the vineyard and we are supposed to bring good fruit. So the purpose of Israel and the purpose of us is to bring good fruit and fulfill the promise and the prophecy, but it is through obedience and keeping his covenant and bringing people close to him and fulfilling the promise that he has set from the beginning, to lead by example, have a living and holy relationship with God, like have a personal and holy relationship with God, and through it leading nations to him, leading nations to Christ, leading nations to God and into this relationship as well that he has planned from the beginning. So this is the whole purpose of the vineyard and why we should bring fruit. But then the question is, what fruit shall I bring? Then again, that applies the gift God has given to us, like the quote that I started in the beginning, the gift God has given to us is our gift from him to us. But what we make out of it is our gift to him and our fruit that we will bring. So this is where it's all getting connected, you know? And it's then also the parable of the 10 minas, the 10 coins and talents, which is in Matthew 25 from verse 14 onwards. It's about the stewardship of what the king has given to the servants and what they've done with it, if they've multiplied it or if they hid it, which the third one did. So the first one multiplied it and he made five more bags. He got five bags and he got made five more minas. The second one got two and he multiplied them as well and got two more to it. The other one who got one, he was hiding it because he was afraid of losing it also, but he was hiding it and not using it. And the same thing it is with our talents. God has given talents to every single one of us. And in the end of this parable, it's also written like the one who has little will be, even this will be taken away from them, and the ones that have a lot, they'll be given more. So it's about stewardship, what God has given to you. God has given you a talent. God has given every single one of us a talent, and he has given it to us as a gift. So what we make out of it, how we steward it, and how we multiply it, and what we do with it, like the servants did with the minas they've received, the talents that they've received, what they did out of it is about multiplying it. And this is what the king delights in. So this is the fruit that we shall bring. Through the talent, to the gifts and talents that he has given to us, we are bringing forth good fruit. We are bringing forth and multiply what God has given us, and we are stewarding it well. So it's all about not hiding our talents and gifts, because God has placed something inside of every single one of us, and in such an individual way, it's so different with every single one of us. But he has given us gifts and talents to build his kingdom, to seek his kingdom, to proclaim his good news, and to proclaim the gospel, and to really bring and lead all nations to him, to be and live an example, to having a loving and holy relationship with God that will point people to him, that will let people see Jesus through us, that will see the love of God through us. But we have to have this personal and holy relationship with him first, to know what our gifts and talents are. And we will bring forth good fruit automatically. Because I also thought about it, because when we abide in God and the Spirit abides in us, then we already bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, gentleness, kindness, patience, and all of that. And those fruits are already bringing forth good fruit because we start to behave and act more and more like Jesus. We start to behave and walk and do life in a way that is loving and kind, like regardless of our circumstances, because we learn to rely on God, we learn to rely on Him, and we learn to live through the Spirit and through the truth that is the Word of God. So it is about God has given you a talent, God has given you a mina, God has given you a coin, and what are you doing out of it is your choice. It's your gift to Him. He has given you this gift, and you can do and reward and give your gift to Him for using your gift and, yeah, building His kingdom with it. So we also read in Luke 16 verse 10 where it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So God is faithful, and He entrusts us with what He sees our ability is, but He can increase that as well. More we start to get used by God, to become a mouthpiece of the Lord, to start doing what He calls us to live in obedience, live in a personal and holy relationship to Him, and really get to know Him, we live more of His will out in our lives and in our personal lives and our relationships, even if we're not talking, we are just representing, and it's like flowing out of us. God will entrust you with more, but you have to be faithful in the little as well, the talents that He has given you. When you are doubting your talent and or gift, and you're like, oh, my gift in comparison to others is just, yeah, so small, like I don't have a gift that can change the world, I don't have a gift or talent that can, I don't know, lead people to Christ. Yes, you do. But you have to stop thinking and doubting and having fear. And if you're faithful in a little, God can bless it, and God can do amazing things out of it. When I look at myself and where I am now, that I am leading a podcast, that I am like traveling the world and working internationally, and all the things and encounters that I have and the things that God entrusts me with have started because I started to be faithful in a little. I didn't think my voice was good. I was always quiet and shy. I wasn't jiggly and happy and joyful and talking a lot because I was never confident and I was very shy. And now to know that I am here is just a testimony and proof that when you're faithful in a little and you get out of your comfort zone and start to use your gift and talent that God has placed in you and really build His kingdom, then He can do amazing things out of it. And it's only increasing. It's only increasing. It's never decreasing. Through the obedience, He will entrust you with more and more. And this will never stop. But it's through this personal and holy relationship that you have with Him. Only through this relationship you are able to see what His perfect, pleasing, and good will is, and to live it out and to bring the fruit, which is your reward to Him, because He has given you the gift. What you make out of it is your gift to Him. So yeah, to conclude it again, because I know it's been a lot of information, to conclude it again, a vineyard that God has planted, His vineyard, which we are. He sends His servants and He sends His Son to collect the fruit. God chose Israel to be the holy nation, to be the vineyard that produces good fruit and leads all nations to Christ. But through Christ, now we are a chosen people, a holy nation. We are now the vineyard, and we are called to bring forth good fruit. We are called to bring nations to Christ, which is the promise from the get-go, from Second Moses, second book of Moses, which talked about how Israel was chosen. Is now we are chosen because God abides for the Holy Spirit in every single one of us, and we are called and chosen to bring people to Christ and bring forth the good fruit that He talks about in Matthew 21:43, that we will produce the fruit that He demands. But then, how do we produce this fruit? And what fruit shall we bring? The parable of the tenants. God has entrusted you with something and has given you something. What you make out of it, if you're multiplying it or if you're hiding it, is on you. If you multiply it and stay obedient, and be assured that He will entrust you with more and more, and you will see His, like, His power unfold in your life and how your relationship gets deeper and deeper. But if you hide it, don't be Don't be upset because he cannot reveal himself to you fully because you are doubting in what he's given to you. You're doubting your capability. You're doubting the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And you are more afraid of failing than trusting in what God has called you to do and what God has called every single one of us to do and the truth that he has spoken. So what do you want to do with your gift? If you don't know what your gift or talent is, pray for it and pray for God to reveal it to you and pray for the Holy Spirit, because you have a gift and you have a talent. And then ask, how can you use it for his kingdom? How can you use it to bring good fruit? How can you use it to give a gift to him out of the gift that he has given to you? And this is a question I want to send you away, and I want you to dwell on for the next time, a few days or weeks, however long. What fruit do you want to bring? Do you want to multiply it, or do you want to hide it? And just imagine God's reaction, and like Jesus seeing that you use what he has given to you as a gift and multiply it abundantly more as a gift to him. So trust in what he can do. Trust in his ways, which are outside of our understanding, and trust that he can make something so great out of something little, which may seem little to you, but it's a lot for God, because he knows the end before the beginning. So thank you for listening. I hope you could take something out of this episode with you. As I said, dwell on those questions, really let them sink in, and really see the beauty in God, that he's not forcing us to do anything, but that he's loving us and he's leaving us a choice and he's giving us opportunity to give a gift back to him, and so that the Lamb can receive his reward in us, in you and me. So thank you for listening again, and I hope you have an amazing week. Bye bye.